The following is a Relevant Radio program and is protected under U.S. copyright laws. This program is made possible through the contributions of listeners like you. Support Relevant Radio by clicking on the donate icon at www.relevantradio.com.
It's a new week in Lent, another chance to get it right. Good morning, I'm Paul Sadek. This is Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Monday, March 14th, 2022, Monday of the second week of Lent. In the Missal, it's liturgical year C, cycle 2. Monday is a day to pray the joyful mysteries of the Rosary. And our saint today is Saint Matilda, born in 892, the daughter of Count Dietrich of Westphalia and Reinhild of Denmark. Matilda married Henry the Fowler in the year 909. He eventually ascended to the German throne. She was noted for her piety and charitable works. She was widowed in the year 936 and was severely criticized by both of her sons for what they considered her extravagant charities. She resigned her inheritance to her sons and retired to her country home. When her son Henry died in 955, she devoted herself to building three convents and a monastery. She spent most of the declining years of her life at the convent at Nordhausen she had built. She died at the monastery of Quedlinburg, March 14th, in the year 968. Saint Matilda, pray for us. Let's offer this day to the Lord. Into thy hands, O God, we commend ourselves this day and all those who are dear to us. Let the gift of thy wonderful presence be with us even to the end of the day. Grant that we never lose sight of thee all the day long, but rather praise and beseech thee that our thanks may come to thee again at its close. Amen. And we join Pope Francis in praying for Christians facing new bioethical challenges. May they continue to defend the dignity of all human life with prayer and action. 10 Minutes with Jesus is a guided meditation on the gospel of the day prepared by a Catholic priest. Here's today's 10 Minutes with Jesus.
My Lord and my God, I firmly believe that you are here, that you see me, that you hear me. I adore you with profound reverence. I ask your pardon for my sins and grace to make this time of prayer fruitful. My Immaculate Mother, Saint Joseph, my Father and Lord, my guardian angel, intercede for me. Today's gospel reading comes out from Luke. Jesus said to his disciples, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Stop judging, and you will not be judged. Stop condemning, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Jesus, your words call to me." We, who wound others and are wounded, we are called to be merciful. We are called to control our judgment. We are called to forgive. And this from our heart, we read from the book of Jeremiah. More torturous than anything is the human heart. Beyond remedy, who can understand it? I, the Lord, explore the mind and test the heart, giving to all according to their ways, according to the fruit of their deeds. You, Jesus, true man, with a true human heart, true God, with a sacred heart, you teach us the way. Saint Josemaria says, "Cepit facere et docere," Latin for "he began to do and to teach." You and I have to bear witness with our example, because we cannot bear a double life. We cannot preach what we do not practice. In other words, we have to teach what we are at least struggling to put into practice. I think of where you did put this into practice, Lord, in a very beautiful way. We think of the woman caught in adultery, this vignette in St. John's Gospel, chapter 8. It says, "Early in the morning, he arrived in the temple area, and all the people started to come to him, and he sat down and taught them. The scribes and Pharisees then brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to him, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery. Now, in the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What do you say?' They said this to test him, so that they could have something to charge against him. Jesus bent down and began to write on the ground with his finger. But when they continued asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "Let the one among you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he bent down and wrote on the ground. And in response, they went away one by one, beginning with the elders. So he was left alone with the woman before him. Then Jesus straightened up and said to her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin any more." Jesus, they tried to trap you. They tried to pit the law against your heart. A dilemma, it seems, and we know it well. If you say the law must be held, the woman gets stoned. If you say the law must be broken here, then they call you a lawbreaker. Jesus, you find the middle ground, that of mercy, honor for the law, and forgiveness and compassion for the sinner. Jesus, I marvel at your compassion. In the most difficult time, at the cross, there, in Luke, it says, when they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him, and the criminals there, one on his right and one on the other on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Lord, you found excuses, even for these who crucify you, the holy, the innocent one. Help me to find my way. Help me to be like you in this Lent, to find my way to mercy, forgiveness, to guard my judgments, to hold back, to not be rash. In June of 1996, a branch of the Ku Klux Klan, a avowedly racist group, announced plans to hold a rally in Ann Arbor, Michigan. A number of people in that Ann Arbor area planned to hold a counter-protest against the Ku Klux Klan's presence on the day of the rally. On the day of the march, the police did a very good job of keeping the two sides apart. However, one fellow, all dressed up in SS tattoos and Confederate flags, strolled to the wrong side of the crowd. It's unclear whether he meant to join the march or was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. The protest proceeded until one protester announced over a megaphone that there was a Klansman in the crowd. The unnamed man was a middle-aged white male wearing a T-shirt depicting the Confederate flag and an SS tattoo. The man began to run but was knocked down, kicked, and beaten with placards. Keshia Thomas, an 18-year-old black woman, threw herself atop the man to protect him from the rampaging crowd and shouted for the attackers to stop, and is credited as saying that, "You know, you can't beat goodness into a person." Shortly after that point, the police arrived at the scene. The young Thomas never saw the man again, but months later she was approached by another man, this one offering thanks. When she asked, "What for?" the man replied, "That was my dad." Keshia Thomas expressed that she had protected the man due to her own religious convictions and because she, quote, "knew what it was like to be hurt. The many times that that happened, I wish I would have had someone to stand up for me." When we're angry, isn't it true? It's sometimes our natural reaction to want to hurt the one who hurt us. But if you have mercy, you don't blame, shame, or punish, even if they deserve it. Mercy sets the wrongdoer free from the fear of punishment and allows them instead to be perfected by love. In this time of Lent, Jesus, you ask me to follow you so close along the way to Calvary, that I begin to be like you, talk like you, walk like you, but more than that, to have the heart that you have, to see others in a different way, even myself. Jesus, I know you don't give me what I deserve in punishment. You give me forgiveness. You give me your very self in the Eucharist. And you ask me only in this time of Lent to come along the way with a decided choice of sacrifice and prayer, of almsgiving and fasting, that being tough on myself, then what? I might be able to be easier, merciful, and understanding. If I'm tough on myself by taking up the cross of Lent, freely choosing it, then I will find myself being forgiving, checking my condemnation of others, my rash judgment. I'll find myself becoming more like you for being so close to you in this Lent. In my nightly examination of conscience, I can look with your grace, Lord Jesus, that you will send me, the ways to see that I hurt the others, or when I've seen that I have been wounded by others, and I forgave it. I gave it to you, Lord, instead of holding on to it in resentment. Jesus, your whole life among us, walking among us, has been mercy and love, and your words that you leave us with, so much mercy and love, and your Eucharist among us, so much gift undeserved, your confession, our way back from falls, again, so unmerited. But Lord, you are a lover without measure, and you ask me to take up the grace that you make so abundant for me, especially in this time of Lent, to imitate you in that, to make it my new nature, the nature of you in me, and my words, my actions, being Christ-like. I will be a Christ passing by. Yes, Lord, you preached this mercy, this stopping judgment, stopping condemning, and forgiving, knowing that if I am merciful, I will receive mercy. If I stop judging, I will not be judged. If I stop condemning, I will not be condemned. Lord, you know my heart, my passion. Help me, then, to hold on, that I may forgive as I wish to be forgiven as well. In St. John chapter 7, the Gospel says, Nicodemus, one of their members who had come to him earlier, said to them, Does our law condemn a person before it first hears him and finds out what he is doing? They answered him and said, You are not from Galilee also, are you? Look and see that no prophet arises from Galilee. We can see what transformation being with you and being open to you has done for even one of these, a member of the Sanhedrin. And he will be there at the end, at the time of your burial. And we look at St. Stephen when he is being martyred. His wonderful words, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Stephen, so conformed to you, also accepted that confirmation unto martyrdom. Lord, in this time of Lent, help me to come so close to you that I also may have this generous, generous heart when it comes to the wounds I receive, and so much like you I will be. I thank you, my God, for the good resolutions, affections, inspirations that you have communicated to me in this meditation. I ask your help for putting them into effect. My Immaculate Mother, St. Joseph, my Father and Lord, my Guardian Angel, intercede for me.
You'll find more of 10 Minutes with Jesus at RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. It's 17 minutes past the hour on Daybreak. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app on Monday of the second week of Lent. I'm Paul Sadek. We begin our day of prayer joining with the whole church led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in the Invitatory Psalm and the Office of Readings.
Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will proclaim your praise.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
O God, be gracious and bless us, and let your face shed its light upon us. So will your ways be known upon the earth, and all nations learn your saving help.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the nations be glad and exult, for you rule the world with justice. With fairness, you rule the peoples. You guide the nations on earth.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
The earth has yielded its fruit, for God, our God, has blessed us. May God still give us his blessing, till the ends of the earth revere him.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Today, if you hear the voice of the Lord, harden not your hearts.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
In you, O Lord, I take refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, set me free. Hear me and speedily rescue me. Be a rock of refuge for me, a mighty stronghold to save me. For you are my rock, my stronghold. For your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Release me from the snares they have hidden, for you are my refuge, Lord. Into your hands I commend my spirit. It is you who will redeem me, Lord. O God of truth, you detest those who worship false and empty gods. As for me, I trust in the Lord. Let me be glad and rejoice in your love. You who have seen my affliction and taken heed of my soul's distress have not handed me over to the enemy, but set my feet at large.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Bow down and hear me, Lord. Come to my rescue.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in distress. Tears have wasted my eyes, my throat, and my heart, for my life is spent with sorrow, and my years with sighs. Affliction has broken down my strength, and my bones waste away. In the face of all my foes, I am a reproach, an object of scorn to my neighbors and of fear to my friends. Those who see me in the street run far away from me. I am like a dead man, forgotten, like a thing thrown away. I have heard the slander of the crowd. Fear is all around me as they plot together against me, as they plan to take my life. But as for me, I trust in you, Lord. I say, you are my God. My life is in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of those who hate me. Let your face shine on your servant. Save me in your love.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever.
Amen.
Lord, let the light of your countenance shine on your servant.
For he has poured out his mercy upon me.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me.
How great is the goodness, Lord, that you keep for those who fear you, that you show to those who trust you in the sight of men. You hide them in the shelter of your presence from the plotting of men. You keep them safe within your tent from disputing tongues. Blessed be the Lord, who has shown me the wonders of his love in a fortified city. I am far removed from your sight, I said in my alarm. Yet you heard the voice of my plea when I cried for help. Love the Lord, all you saints. He guards his faithful, but the Lord will repay to the full those who act with pride. Be strong. Let your heart take courage, all who hope in the Lord.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit,
as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. God of kindness and truth, you saved your chosen one, Jesus Christ, and you gave your martyrs strength. Watch over your people who come to you here, and strengthen the hearts of those who hope in you, that they may proclaim your saving acts of kindness in the eternal city.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has poured out his mercy upon me.
Turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel.
The kingdom of God is at hand.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Pharaoh was already near when the Israelites looked up and saw that the Egyptians were on the march in pursuit of them. In great fright, they cried out to the Lord, and they complained to Moses. "Were there no burial places in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die in the desert? Why did you do this to us? Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Did we not tell you this in Egypt when we said, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. Far better for us to be the slaves of the Egyptians than to die in the desert.'" But Moses answered the people, "Fear not, stand your ground, and you will see the victory the Lord will win for you today. These Egyptians whom you see today, you will never see again. The Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. And you, lift up your staff, and with hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. And I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory through Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I receive glory through Pharaoh and his chariots and charioteers." The angel of God, who had been leading Israel's camp, now moved and went around behind them. The column of cloud, also leaving the front, took up its place behind them, so that it came between the camp of the Egyptians and that of Israel. But the cloud now became dark, and thus the night passed without the rival camps coming any closer all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, and so turned it into dry land. When the water was thus divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. The Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers went after them right into the midst of the sea. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cast through the column of the fiery cloud upon the Egyptian force a glance that threw it into a panic, and he so clogged their chariot wheels that they could hardly drive. With that, the Egyptians sounded the retreat before Israel, because the Lord was fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, that the water may flow back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn the sea flowed back to its normal level. The Egyptians were fleeing head on toward the sea when the Lord hurled them into its midst. As the waters flowed back, it covered the chariots and the charioteers of Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them escaped. But the Israelites had marched on dry land through the midst of the sea, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. Thus, the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. When Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and beheld the great power that the Lord had shown against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us sing to the Lord, glorious in his triumph. Horse and rider he has thrown into the sea.
The Lord is my refuge and my defense. He has become my savior.
The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name.
The Lord is my refuge and my defense. He has become my savior.
From the Catechesis by St. John Chrysostom, Bishop. The Israelites witnessed marvels. You also will witness marvels greater and more splendid than those which accompanied them on their departure from Egypt. You did not see Pharaoh drowned with his armies, but you have seen the devil with his weapons overcome by the waters of baptism. The Israelites passed through the sea. You have passed from death to life. They were delivered from the Egyptians. You have been delivered from the powers of darkness. The Israelites were freed from slavery to a pagan people. You have been freed from the much greater slavery to sin. Do you need another argument to show that the gifts you have received are greater than theirs? The Israelites could not look on the face of Moses in glory, though he was their fellow servant and kinsman. But you have seen the face of Christ in his glory. Paul cried out, "We see the glory of the Lord with faces unveiled." In those days, Christ was present to the Israelites as he followed them, but he is present to us in a much deeper sense. The Lord was with them because of the favor he showed to Moses. Now he is with us not simply because of Moses, but also because of your obedience. After Egypt, they dwelt in the desert places. After your departure, you will dwell in heaven. Their great leader and commander was Moses. We have a new Moses, God himself, as our leader and commander. What distinguished the first Moses? Moses, Scripture tells us, was more gentle than all who dwelt upon the earth. We can rightly say the same of the new Moses, for there was with him the very spirit of gentleness united to him in his inmost being. In those days, Moses raised his hands to heaven and brought down manna, the bread of angels. The new Moses raises his hands to heaven and gives us the food of eternal life. Moses struck the rock and brought forth streams of water. Christ touches his table, strikes the spiritual rock of the new covenant, and draws forth the living water of the Spirit. This rock is like a fountain in the midst of Christ's table, so that on all sides the flocks may draw near to this living spring and refresh themselves in the waters of salvation. Since this fountain, this source of life, this table surrounds us with untold blessings and fills us with the gifts of the Spirit, let us approach it with sincerity of heart and purity of conscience to receive grace and mercy in our time of need. Grace and mercy be yours from the only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Through him and with him be glory, honor, and power to the Father and the life-giving Spirit, now and always and forever. Amen. When he grew up, Moses, guided by faith, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to suffer with the people of God rather than have the fleeting pleasures of sin.
He fixed his gaze on the reward God had promised.
To bear the stigma of Christ was worth more to him than all the treasures of Egypt. With faith as his guide, he left Egypt behind.
He fixed his gaze on the reward God had promised.
Let us pray. O God, who have taught us to chasten our bodies for the healing of our souls, enable us, we pray, to abstain from all sins and strengthen our hearts to carry out your loving commands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
22 minutes before the hour, we'll check out today's gospel in just a few minutes, along with In Conversation with God and Morning Prayer on Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app. It's Daybreak on Relevant Radio and the Relevant Radio app for Monday, March 14th, 2022. I'm Paul Sadek. In today's Gospel from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, I have to wonder if the Lord inspired the Beatles' line, "And in the end, the love you take is equal to the love you make." It's from the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Luke.
"Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back."
This selection from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group, daily and Sunday Mass readings are on the Relevant Radio app. You know, it's often said that we have to follow our consciences, but that really is only part of the truth. We have to begin with a well-formed conscience. Today's reading from In Conversation with God by Father Francisco Fernandez Carvajal is from Volume 2, Lent and Eastertide. The light which is in us does not spring up from within ourselves, from our subjectivity, but from Jesus Christ. "I am the light of the world," he has told us. "He who follows me will not walk in darkness." His light brightens our consciences, but even more, it can turn us ourselves into a light that will illuminate the lives of others. You are the light of the world. The Lord puts us Christians in the world so that with the light of Christ we can point the way to others. We will do so by word, but especially through our behavior as regards professional, family, and social obligations. We should therefore get to know very well the limits beyond which we cannot go with respect to our honor and Christ's morality. We should become aware of the good we can do and are doing, know clearly how an honest professional and a good Christian cannot permit himself to act, and to avoid any such action. If we have made a mistake, we should know how necessary it is to seek pardon, to make amends for it, and reparation also if such is needed. The mother of a family who has the running of her home as her sanctifying task ought to ask herself in her prayer if she is exemplary in fulfilling her obligations towards God, if she lives sobriety, if she is managing to dominate any tendency to ill humor, if she dedicates the necessary time to her children and to the home. The businessman ought frequently to consider whether he is using all the means necessary to get to know the social doctrine of the church. Whether he makes the effort to put this teaching into effect in his business dealings, whether he pays just wages. Christian life is enriched when the teachings our Lord conveys to us through his church are put into effect in daily life. Doctrine then assumes all its inherent power. Doctrine and life are realities for a well-formed conscience. When through a more or less culpable ignorance the doctrine is not known, or when, although known, it is not put into practice, Christian living becomes impossible, and real advance along the road to sanctity is out of the question. We all need to form ourselves a true and refined conscience which readily listens to the voice of God in everyday matters. Doctrine, as regards the knowledge of moral and social teaching, and life, the effort to practice the Christian virtues, are two essential requisites for educating one's conscience. On occasion, faced with the gray areas that are not unfamiliar in our professional work, we have to consider the situation in the presence of God. Whenever necessary, we should insist on receiving the best and most opportune advice from those who can clarify such matters for our conscience, and then put into practice the decisions we have made on our own responsibility. We learn to be sincere with ourselves in the general and particular examination of conscience, to call our errors, weaknesses, and faults against generosity by their real names without masking them with false justifications or disregarding them as non-issues. A conscience which does not recognize its faults leaves man at the mercy of his own caprice. In Conversation with God by Francis Fernandez is published by Scepter Publishers. You'll find it at your local Catholic bookstore. 14 minutes before the hour, let's pray with the whole church. We're led by our friends at DivineOffice.org in morning prayer.
God, come to my assistance.
Lord, make haste to help me.
Glory to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
When will I come to the end of my pilgrimage and enter the presence of God?
Like the deer that yearns for running streams, so my soul is yearning for you, my God.
My soul is thirsting for God, the God of my life. When can I enter and see the face of God?
My tears have become my bread, by night, by day, as I hear it said all the day long, where is your God?
These things will I remember as I pour out my soul, how I would lead the rejoicing crowd into the house of God. Amid cries of gladness and thanksgiving, the throng wild with joy.
Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God.
My soul is cast down within me as I think of you, from the country of Jordan and Mount Hermon, from the hill of Mizar.
Deep is calling on deep, in the roar of waters. Your torrents and all your waves swept over me.
By day the Lord will send his loving kindness. By night I will sing to him, praise the God of my life.
I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning, oppressed by the foe?
With cries that pierce me to the heart, my enemies revile me, saying to me all the day long, where is your God?
Why are you cast down, my soul? Why groan within me? Hope in God. I will praise him still, my Savior and my God.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning,
is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, when your strength takes possession of us, we no longer say, why are you cast down, my soul? So now that the surging waves of your indignation have passed over us, let us feel the healing calm of your forgiveness. Inspire us to yearn for you always, like the deer for running streams, until you satisfy every longing in heaven.
When will I come to the end of my pilgrimage and enter the presence of God?
Lord, show us the radiance of your mercy.
Lord, show us the radiance of your mercy.
Come to our aid, O God of the universe, and put all the nations in dread of you.
Raise your hand against the heathen, that they may realize your power.
As you have used us to show them your holiness, so now use them to show us your glory. Thus they will know, as we know, that there is no God but you.
Give new signs and work new wonders. Show forth the splendor of your right hand and arm.
Gather all the tribes of Jacob, that they may inherit the land as of old. Show mercy to the people called by your name, Israel, whom you named your firstborn.
Take pity on your holy city, Jerusalem, your dwelling place. Fill Zion with your majesty, your temple with your glory.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Lord, show us the radiance of your mercy.
The vaults of heaven ring with your praise, O Lord.
The vaults of heaven ring with your praise, O Lord.
The heavens proclaim the glory of God, and the firmament shows forth the work of his hands. Day unto day takes up the story, and night unto night makes known the message.
No speech, no word, no voice is heard, yet their span extends through all the earth, their words to the utmost bounds of the world.
There he has placed a tent for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom coming from his tent, rejoices like a champion to run its course.
At the end of the sky is the rising of the sun. To the furthest end of the sky is its course. There is nothing concealed from its burning heat.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now. And will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. To enlighten the world, Father, you sent to us your word as the sun of truth and justice shining upon mankind. Illumine our eyes that we may discern your glory in the many works of your hands.
The vaults of heaven ring with your praise, O Lord.
A reading from the book of Exodus. You have seen for yourselves how I bore you up on eagle wings and brought you here to myself. Therefore, if you hearken to my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my special possession. Dearer to me than all other people, though all the earth is mine. You shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
From those who would trap me with lying words,
and from the hunter's snare.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
God himself will set me free from the hunter's snare.
Be compassionate and forgiving, as your Father is, says the Lord.
Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel. He has come to his people and set them free.
He has raised up for us a mighty Savior, born of the house of his servant David.
Through his holy prophets, he promised of old that he would save us from our enemies, from the hands of all who hate us.
He promised to show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant.
This was the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to set us free from the hands of our enemies, free to worship him without fear, holy and righteous in his sight all the days of our life.
You, my child, shall be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins.
In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be compassionate and forgiving, as your Father is, says the Lord. Let us pray. Blessed be God the Father, for his gift of this sacrifice of praise. In the spirit of this Lenten season, let us pray.
Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom.
God of power and mercy, give us the spirit of prayer and repentance.
With burning love for you and for all mankind, instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom.
Help us to work with you in making all things new in Christ,
and in spreading justice and peace throughout the world.
Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom. Teach us the meaning and value of creation,
so that we may join its voice to ours as we sing your praise. Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom.
Forgive us for failing to see Christ in the poor, the distressed, and the troublesome,
and for our failure to reverence your Son in their persons. Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom.
And to these intercessions, we pause to add the prayers of our own hearts.
Instruct us, Lord, in the ways of your kingdom.
Let us conclude our prayers with the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
O God, who have taught us to chasten our bodies for the healing of our souls, enable us, we pray, to abstain from all sins and strengthen our hearts to carry out your loving commands. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen.
May the Lord bless us, protect us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Monday is just waiting for you to make it holy. Morning Air is coming up in just a few minutes. Patrick Madrid a bit later on this morning. I'm Paul Sadek. Let's get together again tomorrow morning, 4 a.m. Central, or on the Relevant Radio app. In the meantime, you go out and make this a great day and live in the light of the Lord.
Audio from the Liturgy of the Hours, courtesy of DivineOffice.org. Readings from In Conversation with God, courtesy of Scepter Publishers. Selections from Truth and Life, the dramatized audio Bible, courtesy of Falcon Picture Group. 10 Minutes with Jesus is used with permission. Daybreak is available on RelevantRadio.com and on the Relevant Radio app. Daybreak is a production of Relevant Radio.